KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. House Speaker Hakeem Jeffries has been talking for hours against the budget bill President Trump has said he wants passed by the 4th of July.
This one big, ugly bill will hurt the quality of life of hardworking American taxpayers, and it's all designed to put a happy smile on the face of billionaires. That is inconsistent with the Declaration of Independence and what we should be celebrating on July 4th.
Republicans say the bill will return economic prosperity to America and cut waste and fraud. A vote is expected this morning. 18 people shot, 4 killed in a drive-by shooting in Chicago. It happened outside a nightclub. Police say a car pulled up. Those inside opened fire. Then the car sped away. The government releases new jobs numbers today. Hiring expected to have slowed last month. Unemployment expected to have risen to about 4.3%, according to most economists. This is ABC News.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Patrol is sharing safety tips with residents for sharing the road with large trucks and buses as their law of the month of July. According to a press release, drivers should avoid lingering in the blind spots of a large truck or bus, follow them at a safe distance, watch for turn signals, and pass them cautiously. Drivers should also give trucks and buses the right of way when entering a roundabout, as the larger vehicles need extra space for turns. The Wisconsin State Patrol is reminding all drivers that safety on the road is a shared responsibility. On Monday, Attorney General Josh Call announced Wisconsin is joining another multi-state lawsuit against federal funding cuts. The new lawsuit was filed against the U.S. Department of Education and argues that the agency illegally cut congressionally approved funding for mental health programs in K-12 schools. The funding was meant to increase access to school-based mental health professionals and address workforce shortages. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction was set to receive grant funding from the agency through 2029. A Hayward man has been sentenced to 7 years in federal prison after entering a guilty plea to possessing and intending to distribute methamphetamine. According to a press release, 34-year-old Nathaniel Johnson was arrested in August when law enforcement authorities found him in a camper with multiple people who were there to purchase methamphetamine. Johnson tripped while attempting to flee the scene, and law enforcement authorities recovered over 300 grams of methamphetamine as well as approximately 15 grams of fentanyl. The Bayfield County Health Department has confirmed a case of the tick-transmitted Powassan virus disease in the county. There have been two other cases confirmed in the state so far this year, one in Lincoln County and one in Pierce County. The virus comes from the same black-legged tick that carries Lyme disease, and symptoms like a fever, headaches, and vomiting typically begin to show within 1 to 4 weeks of the tick bite. Health officials say most infected people only show mild symptoms, but severe symptoms can lead to death or lifelong issues. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The series finale. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets square off for Game 3 of their series tonight. The two teams stand at one game apiece. Yesterday, the Brewers won the first of a doubleheader, 7-2. The Mets went on to win the nightcap, 7-3. Milwaukee's Jacob Mizorowski giving up 5 runs in the second inning, including a grand slam. Things started to unravel after that. Manager Pat Murphy.
He'd have it for one pitch and didn't, and then you could just see the ball wasn't coming out of his fingers the same, and you could see the frustration building, and that's too good of a team and too good of a lineup. You know, this is the days you realize how good these guys are, all major league players. It's so tough to perform at the highest level and be consistent. When you're off a little bit, it can be the difference, and Miz just wasn't in sync.
So tonight it'll be Jose Quintana on the mound against New York's left-hander David Peterson. The Cubs beat the Guardians 5-4. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm later today and tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Matt Nair on Air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to update us live on the latest of the state budget and another holiday edition of What's Worse. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, July 3rd, 2025. Parker Olson's down in Madison at Studio A2. And coming up this hour, we will review, of course, all the goings-on overnight, where the state budget was passed by the Senate, then passed by the Assembly early this morning, and then signed into law by Governor Evers at 1:30 this morning. Why the race? Because the federal budget that Donald Trump wants is going to do tremendous damage, or would have done more damage had the state budget not passed first. That federal budget, it hasn't passed the House yet, but overnight, all of the House Republicans who said they were going to stand up to the president all took a knee by the time all was said and done, and they all voted for a rule that allows it to come up for a final vote. That should be happening any time now in the House of Representatives, and then Donald Trump will get his 4th of July ceremony for a bill that is going to do generational harm to the country. But he gets the photo op, and will kick into place an immense transfer of wealth from the middle class to the upper class and rip away health care from tens of millions of Americans. So, mission accomplished. Along with the budget matters, we're also going to talk about the landmark ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court yesterday that invalidates the 1849 law that was purportedly an abortion ban, though I never believed it was based on the actual interpretation of it. But regardless, the ruling and reaction to it has provided to us an early window into the 2026 campaign for a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat, with challenger Chris Taylor saying that right-wing Justice Rebecca Bradley's dissent in the case was an unhinged political rant devoid of reasoned legal analysis. And that's putting it kindly, though it's par for the course for Justice Rebecca Bradley, whose term will be up next spring, and if she chooses to run for re-election, and it looks like she will, she'll be challenged by Dane County Judge or Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor. So we'll review some of what the justices had to say on both sides of this landmark case. And a little bit later on, Todd Alba will get us ready for this 4th of July weekend, find out what he's got going on for plans. And then, of course, next week he'll be up here in Chippewa Falls for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. No Brittany Merlot this week. We'll hope to get her back next week to give us weather updates. Obviously, you can get updates throughout the course of the day on your local Civic Media station. From Rob in Tigerton, let's see it. There it is. Happy birthday, Pat. I hope you have an awesome day. It's sunny and 63 in Tigerton. We had 0.6 inches of rain with 1/4 inch hail. Wow. He says there was storm damage in the Pike Lake area, in the Hatley area, in southeastern Marathon County. says he got his Wittenberg mowing jobs yesterday before the storms came in, and he's got 3 yards to mow today. He did mention that his grandma, Griepentrog, who passed away in 2010, shares this birthday with me. And in our discussion about Lasagna Awareness Month, he mentions that he loves crockpot lasagna, the best lasagna dish around. I don't know if I've... Parker, have you had crockpot lasagna?
I don't even know if I've heard of that, no.
Well...
I'm intrigued.
I've heard of it.
Now I'm aware of it. Yeah.
It is... and again, I'm tooting my own horn here, but it was a happy accident. I just happened to have found a lasagna recipe. My lasagna is amazing, if I do say so myself. And I would love to take that skill and turn it into like a ragu, a short rib ragu at some point. I've tried that once or twice. Yeah. I haven't quite perfected that recipe yet. Apparently, there is an Italian chef somewhere inside of me dying to get out.
He's just workshopping it.
I'm workshopping it for retirement. From Michael and Tosa, happy birthday, Pat. I did not have lasagna last night, but it's cousin cavatini. Ooh, that's always nice, too. From Scott and Madison on the text line, just a thought, but probably the best way to get a single-payer program is to let the Republicans absolutely destroy our healthcare system. Maybe. I would not like us to go to that extreme to get there, but that too is on the comment line. And you can put your comments up on Facebook or YouTube as well. If you're listening on the radio and going, what do these guys look like? Well, if you want to scare the villagers that way, turn on your computer and you'll find us over on Facebook or YouTube, the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages, or on my own Facebook page, which is facebook.com/morningswithpatkreitlow. And you can put comments in there. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's all the comments I've got here that I want to put up. Let's tell you about the Brewers real quick before we get into some of the news, because the Brewers split a doubleheader yesterday, a day-night doubleheader. In the day game, they looked awesome, beating the Mets 7-2. Joey Ortiz had a grand slam. Freddy Peralta did a fine job there on the mound in game one. And then, I mean, we all thought game two was kind of in the bag, right? Because Jacob Mizorowski was going to be pitching. And we know what his first three starts have been like, Parker. So, I mean, we all kind of counted our chickens on that one, didn't we?
A little bit. I had a little bit higher hopes for that game.
Yeah, but instead he served up back-to-back homers, the first of them a grand slam, and only lasted 3 2/3 innings, giving up 5 runs, 5 hits, and 3 walks in a 7-3 loss to the New York Mets. So, you know, this is a guy that started his career with 11 hitless innings over his first couple of starts.
I suppose he has have to flatten out a little, yeah.
Yes, I would hope so. And so anyway, it wasn't all him. There was like a really lucky infield hit that set the scene for the grand slam. And Mizorowski, again, who seems to be a little wiser than his age, certainly his skills are above as well. I liked his quote afterwards. He said, "It's done. Use the old Tiger Woods approach and move on to the next hit. Move on to the next pitch. It is what it is. I got a loss, but oh well." It's frustrating, but at the same time, you know, a young career, it's good figuring it out. Not when we're in the playoffs, when it matters most. So I like that attitude.
Yeah, smart guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Alicia, you radio guys aren't ugly. Well, see, we got that going for us.
I guess. I was told I have a face for radio, though.
I know. It's something that had to get us in here all this time. But so thanks to everybody for that. Now, the Brewers, meanwhile, they go on to play one more game against the Mets in Queens at Citi Field. I finally learned to say Citi Field and stop wanting to say Shea Stadium because, again, showing off my age. Brewers and Mets, the pregame coverage begins at 5:35 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. All right, we will come back to the state budget and it being passed and quickly signed into law a little later, as well as the federal budget plan of Donald Trump's that is coming up for a vote in the House of Representatives anytime now. But let's take a second to talk about the big news from yesterday out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. where the court essentially, well, didn't essentially, they did. They just threw out that 1849 law that was purported to be an abortion ban, saying in essence that there have been so many other abortion-related laws since that time regulating the procedure that the original, that 1849 law, has been superseded, that there are plenty of statutes that criminalize abortions, you know, only after a fetus cannot survive outside the womb. This was not a surprise. Okay, when the court flipped to progressive control with the election of Janet Protasiewicz, Janet Protasiewicz had made clear where she stood on women having the right to determine their own health care and their own bodies. This whole thing came up, of course, because 3 years ago, the so-called Dobbs decision allowed some extremist justices on the U.S. Supreme Court to repeal Roe v. Wade and the protections that had been there for nearly 50 years prior. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin Chief Strategy Officer Michelle Velasquez called the ruling a victory for patients and for basic human dignity, though she also expressed disappointment because the court also dismissed a second case. It was a Planned Parenthood lawsuit seeking a declaration that Wisconsinites have a constitutional right to an abortion. She said, at a time when politicians are doing everything in their power to strip away rights, Congress is voting literally right now to defund Planned Parenthood and block millions of people from the care we rely on. In one of the concurring opinions, Chief Justice Jill Karofsky shared the stories of four different women who lost their lives because they lived in states with abortion bans. And she included in that list her great-grandmother, who in 1929 tried to end a pregnancy and bled to death. She noted in Dobbs that in sending the impact back to the legislature, sending abortion back to the legislature in the Dobbs decision, Karofsky writes, the impact was cataclysmic. Among the sobering post-Dobbs statistics, I point to just one, Karofsky writes. During the two-year period after the Dobbs decision, in the 14 states with abortion restrictions, it has been estimated that rapists have caused 65,000 pregnancies. And because only five of those 14 abortion ban states have exceptions for pregnancies caused by rape, it has been further estimated that almost 59,000 of the individuals impregnated by rape could not receive abortion-related care in this state. She's simply affirming what we've been talking about for 3 years, that we've gone from what people considered to be abortion on demand, which was never the case, but to essentially impregnation on demand. If you want to rape somebody and get them pregnant, it's easier now than it ever has been because of politicians that want to control your bodies. Well, Justice Rebecca Bradley, who's up next year, had a lot to say about it. And in typical Rebecca Bradley fashion, it was personal with a lot of invectives and a lot of political language that was in there, personally directed at the progressive justices. And thankfully, somebody's now standing up to that, and that would be Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, who released a statement saying that throughout her career as an attorney, legislator, and judge, I've been committed to ensuring that everyone has access to justice and our courts protect the fundamental rights of all Wisconsinites. Today's decision by a majority of justices correctly renders the 1849 law unenforceable, protecting an individual's right to make their most personal, private decisions about their bodies and their lives. In contrast to the majority opinion, Chris Taylor writes, Justice Rebecca Bradley's dissent constitutes an unhinged political rant devoid of reasoned legal analysis. Using politically charged language unsuited for any judge, let alone a Supreme Court justice, Justice Rebecca Bradley continues to be more concerned with forcing her own right-wing agenda onto the people of our state than protecting our most basic constitutional rights and freedoms. And if you happen to hear what sounded like applause at some point yesterday, it was probably me first reading this and applauding, because I have been watching or reading Rebecca Bradley's dissents over the past couple of years and her decisions over the past decade. And it is far past time that somebody finally stand up to them and call them out for the unhinged political rants that they are. A local update is next for some of you, and then we'll cover more of the day's news when we're all back together in about 15 minutes from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Front seat, just this one time. Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On the text line from Jim in Brookfield, happy birthday to a fair-minded individual with common sense who fights for the common good. I can't think of a bigger irony for a birthday when a big, beautiful bill passes that neither common sense that has neither common sense nor anything for the common good. Many more birthdays to come, Pat, from Jim in Brookfield. Thank you, Jim, very much for the sentiments. I appreciate that. And you can text us, too, as well. Get on that Civic Media app and send us a text or, you know, a voice note. See, here's the thing. I wish we had like a prize closet where we could give away stuff like just kind of on demand. Yeah. Because here's the voice note feature that I'm going to talk about on the Civic Media app where you could record us a little message. And how shameless would it be to just say the first one that uses the voice note to sing happy birthday will get prize X, you know?
Here's your Civic Media koozie.
Here's your Civic Media koozie. Sure. Something like that. But I don't have one of those things. I don't have one of those prizes to give away. I've been saying for a couple of years now, I need to start a new line of Up North News coffee mugs. Mm-hmm. And I still just haven't gotten around to it yet. In part because I haven't found the right little, you know, pithy saying or slogan or something that would go along with it. You know, I want to do something with woke and mornings, because obviously the show is now called Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Sure.
But something about woke and mornings that kind of tweaks at the, I mean, again, you know my definition of woke. You know, don't be a bigot or a racist or a misogynist or a jerk.
Should be. Really.
But I got to find a way to get, you know, that woke is really about mornings, et cetera. But I'm not that creative. Anyway, you could share with us your suggestion through a voice note. Just use the Civic Media app and send us your thoughts on that as well. All right, I know what some of you are thinking from the last segment. Well, you only read Chris Taylor's statement that said that Rebecca Bradley was providing this unhinged political rant. And what did she actually write? And yes, I should have shared that first, and I did not. So I'm going to do it now. Bradley wrote that the court's liberal majority, the four justices, that the majority not only does violence to a single statute, it defies the people's sovereignty. The majority's decisions, she wrote, are motivated by the policy predilections of its members. And then she names names. Not content with effacing the law, Chief Justice Jill Karofsky rewrites history, erases and insults women by referring to mothers as pregnant people, slanders proponents of the pro-life perspective, and broadcasts dangerously false narratives about laws restricting abortion. Laden with emotion, steeped in myth and light on the law, the concurrence reads as a parody of progressive politics rather than the opinion of a jurist. The people of Wisconsin have surrendered self-governance to four liberal lawyers. No one, regardless of any political leanings, should want any four lawyers to make all the important decisions for we, the people. Absent debate, discussion, or compromise. The Constitution doesn't allow it. In America, the law is king. The majority of this court has deposed the law. There is no greater affront to democracy. There is no greater threat to our republic. That was Justice Rebecca Bradley saying, there is no greater affront to democracy. There is no greater threat to our republic. And when Chief Justice Jill Karofsky wrote about those women who bled out and died because of abortion bans, Rebecca Bradley accuses her of rewriting history and erasing and insulting women by simply using the term pregnant people. So now that you've heard some of that, what are your thoughts on Chris Taylor saying that Rebecca Bradley's dissent constitutes an unhinged political rant devoid of reasoned legal analysis? Was Chris Taylor right when she said using politically charged language unsuited for any judge, let alone a Supreme Court justice? Justice Bradley continues to be more concerned with forcing her own right-wing agenda onto the people of our state than protecting our most basic constitutional rights and freedoms? Which one do you think was closer to being fact-based? I know. And yet for 15 years, conservative justices ruled the roost in the state Supreme Court. And now that they don't, now that the people have decided your values aren't in line with ours and have elevated Jill Karofsky to Chief Justice and elected Janet Protasiewicz as Justice, and Susan Crawford will be joining next month formally, the couple of arch-conservative justices, Rebecca Bradley and Annette Ziegler, are not happy. And it is so reflected in their dissents. And I would go get more of them, but I only had so many hours in a day. And I believe the decision and the dissenting opinions ran to something like 78 pages. So I took some of those there that I'd noticed. Jesse O'Poyne put some in an article in the Journal Sentinel. Jesse O'Poyne, by the way, like I can't say enough good things about her for being an ace reporter, but also notice that I think it was at 1:30, well, sometime after 1:30, maybe 2 in the morning, whatever it was, posting up on Twitter, you know, a picture of the lit up Capitol Dome saying goodnight, Capitol, after the state budget was all done. And if you missed it during the last hour, I said, you know, there was a time when I was covering those late night sessions. There was a time when I was in those late night sessions. And while not everything is great about getting to be this age, part of it is no longer having to cover those sessions. Dan Schaefer did. Dan Schaefer stayed up late. And so if you, I often point you over to upnorthnewswi.com, but I'm going to point you over to civicmedia.us as well. Dan Schaefer has a really nice write-up on the state budget and what all took place late at night. So go read Dan's stuff in there as well. Let's see, from CT about Rebecca Bradley. Sucks not getting your way, huh? Yep. Cassandra's up and writes, OMG, this decision gives more rights back to women. She is in the cult, clearly. And by the way, just for a little balance, not everybody's happy with everything here. Lauren writes, I hope during this hour we begin to unpack how the state budget bill is a betrayal to Wisconsin public schools, including 66% of schools will receive less aid. Yeah, we did talk a bit about that, Lauren, in the last hour, and we'll continue getting to it, that this budget, it's signed and it's done, but it's not good. It's not horrible, but it is not good. More coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin is ranked second in the nation for having the most organic farms. Now, the Food Finance Institute is looking to help these organic growers with a new program called Naturally Wisconsin. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. The program essentially seeks to boost the market for organic products. Jamie Valenti-Jordan is the Food Brand Program Manager with the Food Finance Institute. He tells us about the types of businesses or services that can work with Naturally Wisconsin.
Within our space, of course, we have brands. That's the most commonly recognized group, but it's not just emerging brands, not just established brands. It's also our supply chain up and downstream. So that's going to be inclusive of our agricultural sector, our agricultural supply, our ag tech, but also our ingredient suppliers that are going to process those materials, our packaging and equipment suppliers that are going to be a part of that as well, all the way through to our service providers, those that specialize in the food industry with respect to, working on legal or marketing as well.
Jamie Valenti-Jordan says you can learn more about Naturally Wisconsin by visiting the Food Finance Institute online. Stick around for more agribusiness news coming your way.
In my County Farm Bureau, I'm more than a member. I'm an advocate for local farms and families. Serving on the board has given me a chance to create real change in our community. From organizing volunteer opportunities to promoting agriculture at local events, we connect our neighbors to the farms that feed them. Together, we're building a stronger and well-informed community. Join us and make a difference today.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing: to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
In other agribusiness news on a Thursday, local food dollars are getting applause from food processors. In the tentative budget agreement between the governor and the Republican-led legislature, $10 million has been secured toward the Food Security Initiative grant program. This is through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association says it's going to increase access to nutritious dairy products like milk and cheese, as well as meat, fruits, and vegetables from Wisconsin food processors during a time when food banks are seeing record demand. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm later today and tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
Next up, you'll hear Matt Rothschild in the guest host chair helping you and your family gear up for a big July 4th weekend. He's got thoughts, and I want to hear them. So do you. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to our Mornings on Lake Wissota, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you along on this July 3rd, and thank everybody for the greetings along the way. And also a lot of comments, because there's a lot of news. There was the state Supreme Court decision yesterday throwing out the 1849 so-called abortion ban, so that's gone now. You have a federal budget that's going to do tremendous harm, and the House of Representatives will be voting on that shortly if it hasn't started by now. Then you had a state budget that was rushed to get passed ahead of the federal budget and the damage that it would have done to helping pay for health care in Wisconsin. But in rushing it through, it led to more no votes from people that said this is not right to be rushing this process when more needs to be done on the budget. In fact, I think this is all captured really well by Cassandra on YouTube. She writes, "I have so many feelings about the state budget. I feel like it made some improvements, but at the same time, it didn't. I think it's better than not passing a budget at all." Tony puts on YouTube, "Let's be honest, this is powered by coffee and brought to you by Up North News." Fair point, Tony. But it's in the title. It's powered by Up North News and coffee. There's going to be a lot of time to outline the things that work in this bill. There are tax cuts amounting to $1.3 billion. There is the spending of hundreds of millions of dollars on overdue building projects throughout our university campuses. There is an expansion of Medicaid funding. There is a big increase in funding for special education. There is funding for new child care programs. There's also an expansion of the second lowest tax bracket to include more filers. It exempts some retirement income from taxation. It eliminates the residential utilities sales tax, and it creates a film tax credit of up to $5 million a year. But it will also cost more to get a driver's license and buy license plates and title a vehicle. And then there are all the ways that it could have been better and the things that were missing. And over the break, I was looking, and it feels like you get a press release from every legislator, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's very tough to pick and choose what to share here, as far as especially from the legislators who voted no. And a lot of it has to deal with education funding. Lauren putting up, the federal government is withholding education funding from schools. There are no real wins for schools right now. And that is definitely reflected in the press releases that came from many of the Democrats who voted no. For example, Assembly Assistant Democratic Leader Kaylin Haywood of Milwaukee said it is disgraceful that our state budget has been so negatively influenced by the recklessness of federal Republicans. The rushed process led to a budget that failed to put people first and neglect the needs of so many Wisconsinites. He talked about the Democratic amendments that were put up that would have addressed some of these gaps, increased funding for K-12 and for mental health, expand Medicaid, provide real property tax relief, provide more resources for lead pipe remediation. Unfortunately, he writes, Republican leadership ignored these proposals. It was, again, lacking expanding postpartum Medicaid coverage. There is no paid family leave in there. There are no additional school aides. There's no funding for mentorship programs, and that's all in the press release from Kaylin Haywood here. Let's see. Let me grab a couple of others. We had Senator Dora Drake here, also from the Milwaukee area, saying that after months of chaos and years of ineffective governance, legislative Republicans have failed to secure votes in their own caucus, and they came to us in the midnight hour for a bailout at the expense of our state losing almost $1 billion in federal funds. And she again cites that there are definitely some good things in the budget, but it is the lack of general school funding for districts across Wisconsin that means that the carousel of referendums is just going to go on and on and on, which means that property taxes are going to keep going up as the legislature, controlled by Republicans, continues into a 16th year of underfunding schools compared to the rate of inflation. Now, on the other hand, and yes, I'm going to be playing this game because, again, there are things to like, there are things to hate. Tony's got some real perspective on this when he writes on YouTube. Take everything that was removed from the governor's original budget, and that's your platform for what you get with a Democratic majority in 2026. Everyone can sing from the same hymnal. He says, we got concessions with fairer maps. Now we'll get progress with a majority. This is the best possible deal for now. It was decided when the votes were counted last November. And again, it's not great. He's right, but it's not great. You know, Lauren counters on Facebook, the Common School Fund will have a decrease of over $2 million per year. And so I have to sympathize or empathize with everybody who sees the good things in here, but who also knows so much more could have been done and that maybe a little more pressure could have been brought to bear on Republicans to put some of those things in the bill, but it had to be rushed because of the turkey in Washington, D.C. that is being, rushed through Congress instead. And when I say being rushed, I mean, again, heading to D.C. now, those House members, those House Republicans, I'll tell you, there were, as of 3 a.m. Eastern Time, there were still five Republicans who had voted no on what was up for consideration last night. In fact, let me back up and explain that. There wasn't a vote on the bill last night, the Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. The vote was on a rule to advance the bill to a final vote. So it's a procedural vote, but it was a big deal. If enough Republicans, if more than three Republicans had voted for that, for the rule, it would not have advanced to a vote. It would have killed it without them having to vote no on the bill, but simply voting no on the rule of having a vote. And they were adamant. They were saying, we're sending this back. We gave a bill to the Senate. It was a good bill. They ruined it. Now it's coming back to us and they want to jam it down our throats. We don't have to. The 4th of July thing is totally artificial. The way it's supposed to work, they said, is the House passes something, the Senate passes something. The House says, we'll take some of it. The Senate says, well, okay, we'll take some of that. And it may ping pong back and forth, four or five times before it's all said and done. And House Republicans were right to say, why should we just let the Senate jam us simply for an artificial deadline at the 4th of July? And so the vote was held open. The vote was supposed to be open for something like 30 minutes. It became 90 minutes. It became a couple of hours. It went into past midnight. And at 3 a.m., five of these Republicans who had voted no on the rule, four of them caved by 5 a.m. Eastern Time. They had changed their votes to yes, and then the vote was taken, and Republicans supporting Trump had the votes necessary to advance the bill and send it to a final vote. And that's what's going to be taking place. But as of a couple of minutes ago, Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York has been holding the floor now for at least 3 hours, speaking ahead of the vote. And again, he's not going to be able to stop the vote. But it is a way to call attention to all of the things that are in the bill that, either Democrats don't like or that Republicans shouldn't like. Because of the increased debt, again, $4 trillion added to the deficit. Congressman Seth Magaziner, Democrat of Rhode Island, said, when we say the Republican Party has turned into a cult, this is what we mean. Our Republican colleagues are pushing a bill that would throw their constituents under the bus, a bill that flies in the face of everything they claim to stand for, all because Donald Trump wants a bill signing photo op by the 4th of July. It does more, by the way. The bill also supercharges ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. And so you will see, if you think you're seeing secret police kidnappings now off our streets, wait until there are 10,000 new ICE agents and 100,000 new detention beds. Trump's border czar said, you think we're arresting people now? Wait till we get the funding. Which leads me to this point, by the way. Before they go hiring 10,000 new agents, and forgive the sexism here, but I'm going to assume that, you know, a big chunk of those are going to be men. And like I've said before, in this country, a whole lot of men are approaching a fork in the road when it comes to an embrace of authoritarianism and toxic masculinity versus a modern world which does not defer to men simply because they're men. And I just want to remind those men approaching that fork in the road of whether to be one of these secret police or to do something more useful to society, that if later on, when the tide finally turns and you say, I was just following orders, or I just needed a job, that's not going to cut it when this is all said and done. One more point about immigration from Trump. In a Fox News interview, Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers and people in hotels and hospitality, but especially about farmers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass to address farmers' concerns. He described the effort as something where, quote, people pay taxes and where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. What does he mean by the farmer has a little control on whether there are like immigration raids on their property or not? Do you realize what he's describing? He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are even more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. Now, I'm not making farmers out to be the bad guys in these. I'm not saying that they want to be vassals in this medieval model of peasants and vassals, but Trump wouldn't mind it. That's Trump's world. That's what Trump wants. I mean, what's next? That farmers' children can avoid being sent to war in Iran if they send the children of the Mexicans working their land in their place? And if that sounds far-fetched, go look at your own family tree, because mine certainly has that. The Kreitlows came to this country because four brothers, four out of five, there was a youngest one who stayed behind, but four of the five were facing the prospect of conscription, because whoever it was that owned the land that the Kreitlows were farming on in Germany or the German-Polish border back in the day were facing the prospect of being sent into another one of the German Empire's wars. They didn't want to do that. And they, like a lot of other Germans, a lot of other Europeans, saw the prospect of a better life in America. And they came here, and kind of like the three little pigs, they all went their separate ways. And it's been fascinating to follow these four different brothers and where they all settled. One was a farmer. One was a mason. My direct great-great-great-grandfather. Others went into other fields. And it was all fascinating. But it was in part the result of this feudalism that Trump is exactly talking about when he says the farmer can have a little control over this. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants. It's what Donald Trump knows best. And there's no stopping it until next year. And you really ought to consider stopping it next year before you hear all the other campaign commercials that start running. More after this. You're up north.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. ProPublica is reporting an alleged $80,000 disclosure omission by Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem in her federal executive branch disclosure form, an ethics violation. Noem appears to have received a 2023 commission for fundraising for a dark money nonprofit group. ProPublica reporters reviewed 2023 documents suggesting a company Noem registered in Delaware, Ashwood Strategies LLC, took an apparent commission payment of $80,000 for raising money for the American Resolve Policy Fund, a 501c3 nonprofit. Noem did not report the payment on her executive branch personnel public financial disclosure report filed late last year. Reporting found American Resolve was registered within minutes of the registration of Ashwood Strategies. On paper, American Resolve is registered and managed by a Virginia company, Sage Advisory Group. ProPublica also reports that American Resolve Policy Fund in turn formed America Resolve PAC, supporting Noem in its advertising. In a press statement, Noem's lawyer claims she did not, quote, establish, finance, maintain, or control American Resolve Policy Fund. She was simply a vendor for a nonprofit entity, unquote. She was also serving as governor at the time. We've linked to Noem's federal disclosure form, the ProPublica report, and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All right, from the text line, I don't know if Kevin and McWanago is listening or if he's listening to a local update over on WAUK right now. But he writes on the text line, so first the tariffs were going to drive the economy into the ground. Correct. And then the economy was going to fall, according to you guys. And now with the passage of this bill, the sky is going to fall. You liberals seem to be wrong about everything. Kevin, my dude, job growth was negative last month. And by the way, Todd Alba joins us now. Did you happen to see the clip of Maria Bartiromo live as the job figures came in?
I did not.
Oh, it's so good. She's talking, and I see this all the time. They're talking, making small talk until the number comes up on a screen in front of them. And the forecast was for whatever it was, like a 90 or 100,000 jobs gained, you know, last month. Yeah, yeah. And she's like, and we're expecting 100,000 gained. Here comes the number now. Oh, and it was a loss of 30,000 jobs. And then she just went on, didn't talk about it for the rest of the time, pretended nothing happened. You know, it's like nothing to see here, just that we are not that far away from the official declaration of a recession. So, yeah, don't talk to us about being wrong about everything. Yeah, just, again, we tried to warn you. Mr. Albo, how are you?
I'm well. I was going to say, you know, happy birthday. And
thank
Donald
you.
Trump thought, you know, what the hell? Let's just give Kreitlow a recession for his birthday. So Yay. So, I mean, if there was something in it for you, Pat. There's something in it for you, something to talk about. No, happy birthday, my friend. Are you going to celebrate on a pontoon in Lake Minnesota?
Let me get my little flag out. Yay. Look at that. Recession for folks on the radio. Last year, for my 60th, my wife surprised me with cupcakes, and they all had a little toothpick with a little tiny blow-up of my face, a head on a stick, with a little... Yes. A little birthday hat on it, and I saved one of them to occasionally dance on screen here when I want to avoid crying instead. So, yeah, happy recession.
It's pat on a stick.
Yes, right. Yeah, and as Tony notes, that's not even without the tariffs being fully implemented. I mean, we got so many places to go. Anyway, thank you for the birthday wishes on your show yesterday. That was fun. We now have next week to look forward to, and the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
I cannot wait. We're going to be up there. I believe now it's a big two-day event.
Yes,
I heard.
Yep, we can't contain you to one day.
Oh no, that's not that. That's not it at all. It's just there were chairs to fill. Todd's a good chair filler.
All right. Well,
but I'm happy to be up there. Happy that you're going to be on with us as well. Always a lot of fun. And I think it's for our statewide listeners, I know there's a lot of people who are like, there's a Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it. Not until last year when you and my sister and brother-in-law were so kind enough to show me around. I was super impressed. A lot of fun, lots of events to do. It's a family affair, and I can't wait.
It's wonderful. It's here in Chippewa County, here in Chippewa Falls. And again, it's just... it's just adorable. It's just such a cute little fair, you know. It's bigger than a lot of county fairs. It's certainly not, though, on the scale of a state fair. And there's a whole reason why you have these regional fairs, the Central Wisconsin State Fair and things like that. And it had a lot to do with, you know, not everybody could travel down to Milwaukee for the big state fair to show their animals and things back in the day. And so we now have these regional fairs that are really nice. There's going to be a lot of good acts on the stage. I think like Flo Rida is the one that I can think of. Hairball is going to be there. I know I'm missing one or two really good ones. But some good acts. But now, more importantly, Todd Alba for 2 days, which Thursday and Friday of next week, which only begs the question, what is Thursday night going to be like next week when you are overnighting in Chippewa Falls?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be, as my former social studies teacher, Ken Lewis, once said, good time had by all. That's what it's going to be. It'll be a good time had by all.
Good time had by those who will remember it.
yes.
Get that going for us. So, we're going to have to make some plans.
Are you going to be able to join us on both days?
I am absolutely joining you for both days from 2 to 4, as you like to advertise, the afternoon delight period now.
So, absolutely. Just kind of, you know, come in, chill out. You got 3 hours of Tom Hartman, which is the latest international, national news. He'll sell you some crypto and put some stuff in a lockbox. And then we come on. And it's a lot of fun and just a little bit of a talk time. And for 2 days, talking about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair on Thursday and Friday with the one, the only, the suave, the debonair, the birthday boy, Pat Kreitlow.
There you go. It was Foreigner that I'd forgotten about. Will be on Saturday.
Foreigner's going to be there?
Yep, on Saturday. Flo Rida on Friday. Hairball is Thursday. And Montgomery Gentry Wednesday.
Montgomery Gentry. Well, with Foreigner being in town, better be careful with all the new funding in D.C. ICE will be on the lookout. Some of those boys will be like, wait a minute, there's Foreigners in town. Let's go after him.
Oh, man. In the short time we have left here, unprecedented way to pass a state budget, to rush it through, and for the governor to sign it at 1:30 in the morning, basically racing the acts that's coming in the federal budget that's being considered in Congress right now. I'm not going to ask you about but there's not enough time to cover all the good and bad about the budget. But the process itself, I mean, unlike anything we've ever seen, right?
Never seen anything like it, as Bob Schieffer at CBS once said. I mean, truly. I mean, I dozed off and I was still up. Charlie Pittman, Dan Schaefer, amongst others at Civic Media, were still up. And they had video of the governor. It was like the poor man alone in his office. There was like and it was very quiet. I never seen, clearly this deal truly was completely cut and dried before it was passed in the Senate and the Assembly. And Evers made a couple of small changes, taking the date off of when the Green Bay prison should be closed. It was just a minor thing. So I never seen anything like it. I agree that particularly for K-12 education, not great. And I think that's interesting coming from a guy who likes to call himself the education governor in what could, keyword could, be his last budget.
Or the one that he's got to run for re-election on and have people in his own party saying, you know, are you fighting hard enough for us? So right. It has been a scene setter for next year, and we will continue to talk about it, as Todd will too, from 2 to 4 p.m. Afternoons on Civic Media. Todd,
Happy birthday to you.
In our next hour, we'll have Chad Holmes and Sean O'Malley and Joe Zepecki. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House of Representatives getting ready to vote soon on President Trump's big budget bill, which House Speaker Mike Johnson says was pushed forward by personal phone calls from the president himself.
I think it was very helpful. I'm really appreciative of his leadership.
Well, Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries has been talking since before 5 a.m. this morning, trying to stall the vote.
Because that debate was so limited, I feel the obligation, Mr. Speaker, to stand on this House floor and take my sweet time to tell the stories of the American people.
The bill is expected to pass this morning after Jeffrey stops talking. Four people have died from gunshot wounds, 14 others hospitalized following a drive-by shooting in Chicago outside a nightclub. New unemployment numbers coming out this morning. Economists expect a possible hiring slowdown. This is ABC News.